This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, disability inclusion in the workplace and beyond. First, the decision to breastfeed is a personal one that has known health benefits for baby and mother, but it can also result in strong opinions from family, friends, and the public. Women, Infants, and Children is a special supplemental nutrition program that can help low-income women with breastfeeding education, nutritional needs, and overall health. Joining us to talk about efforts to educate mothers about breastfeeding are Hamilton County WIC Program Director and Cincinnati Health Department's Supervising Dietitian, Betsy Hagen Buchanan, and Maternal and Infant Health Division Director with the Cincinnati Health Department, Dr. Jennifer Mooney. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Betsy and Jennifer, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Jennifer, what are the benefits of breastfeeding? Why would a mother make the decision to breastfeed?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's a huge question. I think a lot of women make the decision to breastfeed for the health benefits of the child, obviously. There's also some benefits to the mother. Breastfeeding helps protect against certain types of cancers in women, helps you get your figure back a little faster, which is pretty appealing to women. The lifelong benefits to infants, I think, have been well documented, and it goes anywhere from stomach kind of flora and immunity, all the antibodies they get from the mother. But I think there are a lot of decisions outside of just pure health benefits. I think there's bonding. There are things that some people just feel like this is the most natural approach. And maybe curiosity plays a little part of this, but there are definitely well-documented health benefits.
So you say it protects mothers from some types of cancer. How solid is the evidence for that?
Well, I'm not a clinician, but I do know that the science points in the direction of it's pretty solid, and it is protective, I know, against breast cancer and ovarian, I think.
Yes, correct.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Jennifer, what specific health benefits do you see for kids?
Well, I think immunity is a really big, powerful thing. I myself, this is kind of just a lay kind of example. I was not breastfed, and I swear if I go to a salad bar and there is one little cootie of E. coli floating around in this entire salad bar, it will land in me and I will be sick the entire night. My husband, on the other hand, was breastfed, and I've never seen him sick a day in his life. And I know that this is just a simple example, but I do think that this does help build a constitution, and it gives you guys, your bodies, the best start possible. I got a cold, for example, with my last baby, and what I read was to continue to breastfeed because you've already exposed your child to your cold, but you're giving them the antibodies also to help fight that cold off in the process. So even if they do get sick while you're fighting off your cold, they're not going to get as severe of a cold perhaps as you did.
Okay, so immune system. And does it help with allergies too? I mean, kids are not as likely to have allergies.
I don't know, maybe Betsy knows.
Yeah, it does help decrease the risk of allergies, even asthma, eczema, those type of things, and diarrhea certainly is decreased. So there's many factors, and later on, you know, the more you breastfeed, the more benefits you get. So even for babies that were breastfed, they have a decreased risk of later getting type 2 diabetes and certain leukemias. And so there's many, many benefits that have been shown, you know, with increased breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are people who have their doubts as to whether breastfeeding is such a good thing for the mom and the baby. What do you say to people who still have their doubts about breastfeeding?
I'd say you'd have to understand maybe what context, what are they afraid of, or what are they doubtful of? I think there are a lot of issues you have to combat. You know, society's not very breastfeeding friendly quite yet, even though this has been going on since man's creation. And the U.S. is supposed to be the most advanced nation in the world, but I feel like we're kind of backward a little bit on this. So, you know, some people have fear of just being embarrassed, not really ever seeing how this has happened in their lives. Maybe they've never been exposed to it. They don't know where resources are. They're afraid that if they try, they're going to fail. I think that it's a very complicated thing, but I think largely it comes down to maybe more social factors and sort of the culture around breastfeeding rather than fear that there's going to be no health benefits.
Are we seeing a shift in the attitude, though? compared to what it was, say, a few decades ago?
Maybe small steps in that direction. I think there's more breastfeeding initiation, but we're still working on duration to keep it going for the 6 months and the 12 months, that type of thing.
6 months, 12 months. So how long should a mother expect to breastfeed her child? Is that pretty much?
A mom can breastfeed certainly as long as she wants to. The American Academy of Pediatrics would recommend 2 a year, but like the WHO, the World Health Organization, they'll recommend up to 2 years or longer. So like you said, in the United States, we're a little bit, you know, not quite as advanced as some of the other countries.
Mm-hmm. So at least 6 months, though, is what you should expect. Is that correct, Jennifer?
I think that any duration is good, but we do want to make sure that we are enabling people to go as long as they want. And I think that that's where we see people fall off. You see a lot of women initiate breastfeeding, perhaps when they're in the hospital. And then they go home. And that's truly when it can get difficult and when you meet a lot of your challenges. You're going through huge hormonal shifts. You're not getting sleep. Some people worry if the infant's getting enough to eat. There are a lot of things that come into play when you're home alone and now you have this brand new person. And I think that if there's a lot of social support that really says, we're here to lift you up, whatever resources you're going to need, or people that can check on them. I think that's really important because really that decision to quit can happen in an instant. And it's very, very hard to recover if you try to go back at it. So you really kind of need to continue, and I think that's beneficial. But there are lots of ebbs and flows in breastfeeding. It's never seamless. And I know it seems like this is so bizarre. It's natural. We're supposed to drink human milk as babies, and this should just be the easiest, most natural process, but it's not, and it rarely is perfect and seamless for anyone. I think that people have to be educated that your body goes through changes, and sometimes you feel like you have a huge amount of milk and you don't understand why, and then a week later everything settles down and your body has like adjusted. But unless someone is explained to like how this process works, they may completely just have a meltdown and think, oh my God, my milk is gone and I don't know what to do. And then they think they've lost all of their milk. So I think a lot of this has to do with education and empowering people to be informed because you do go through a lot of physical changes, especially in those early weeks. But any duration is good. But like Betsy was saying, you know, the World Health Organization even recommends, you know, 2 years, which just seems insane to a lot of Americans. Right. But, you know, That's where the science is.
Why do some women, Jennifer, why would they choose not to breastfeed? What are some of the things that might make them say, I don't think this is worth bothering with?
I think a lot of women, and I think this reaches across, like I was explaining to Betsy, I think this goes across all social strata. I remember some of my friends saying that they felt like it was barbaric. You know, we tend to sexualize breasts in the U.S., and they don't really have a function that looks like this, and I think that makes people feel a little bit uncomfortable. And other cultures don't sexualize breasts the way that Americans do, so that definitely plays a part. And then I think there's this kind of misconception that women who want to have their fathers participate, for example, you know, like getting up for nightly feedings. The weird thing is, there's a lot of women who choose to pump only and then not actually put the child to the breast. And it's funny because you always wonder, well, if he's feeding the child the bottle, you have to pump at the same time in order to keep up your supply. So why not just give the child the breast? just bypass the whole bottle feeding. But then there are some people who, you know, definitely want the participation of their partner, and maybe they switch to formula for night feedings, that sort of a thing. Unfortunately, the less you breastfeed, the more like your milk's going to dry up and you're not going to be able to continue as long as you like. So even people who choose like mixing, you know, some breast milk with some formula, you know, exclusive breastfeeding is obviously the best for longevity.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's talk with Heidi in Loveland. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to join the conversation. I have 2 children and breastfed exclusively both of them for 18 months. I'm also a working mom. And, you know, one of the things that I learned between my 2 children is that it is not easy. And it is not something that necessarily comes easily to every woman. You really have to be passionate about it and stick with it. But like your guests were saying, having a good support system is really important. I know that I use the lactation consultants a lot at Bethesda North, and they were so helpful to me, but it is something that every day you have to commit to that, because the moment that you, you aren't committed, then, you do start having those doubts about your milk supply and things like that. So, it was so important to me and my family that we made those sacrifices. And I just, I want to encourage other mothers to do that, because it is so important for those children's health, but knowing that it's not easy. So you have to go in, with the mindset that you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Heidi, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. How common is that, Jennifer?
Gosh, I echo everything she said. Congratulations. 18 months is incredible. So that's fantastic. That just gave me chills. But I agree with everything she said. And I've breastfed both of my children, and it's hard. It's harder than I ever imagined. And I think if I hadn't just gone in saying I'm absolutely going to do this, then I would have fallen off so many times. So, I think you have to have people who are really committed up front. I remember my sister-in-law, when she got pregnant, she said, well, I think I'm going to do a little bit of both. And I said, no, if you're even remotely interested in breastfeeding, you should just say I'm going to go for it and then see what happens, because that sort of wishy-washiness won't really get you much.
You have to be Heidi was saying, you have to be really committed to do this.
You really do. And I think it's so incredibly rewarding. It's a lot of work in the beginning, but over time that decreases. And then I know Betsy's got some great information on peer help, and I think that goes to the social support issue.
Right. With the WIC program, we do have some breastfeeding peer helpers. So these are moms that have been or are currently on the WIC program, have successfully breastfed their babies, and so they can help talk to some of our prenatal moms to help them hopefully choose breastfeeding, and then beyond that, answer their questions and, more on that level of, this is what happened to me, so let me tell you what might help for you. And they can give a lot of just real basic advice to help moms along, because we don't have the support systems. A lot of times our moms or our grandmoms haven't breastfed, so we haven't seen it. So if you haven't seen something, sometimes it seems a little scary.
And then you're sitting there thinking, am I the only one who's going through this?
Right.
Am I out here on an island?
Right. And it's nice to know this happens to everybody. This is common, and we can help you work through it, though. And so sometimes if you get over some of those humps, it does get easier after a while. At first it seems like all you're doing is breastfeeding, but the baby and you get better as a team, and it does start to work itself out.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and my guest this afternoon, Hamilton County WIC Program Director and Cincinnati Health Department Supervising Dietitian Betsy Hagen Buchanan, and Maternal and Infant Health Division Director with the Cincinnati Health Department, Dr. Jennifer Mooney. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Betsy, does Hamilton County or the Cincinnati Health Department hold regular classes on breastfeeding?
Yes, the WIC program itself holds classes pretty almost in every one of our sites. We have 10 sites, and we have breastfeeding classes in 8 out of the 10 of them, and they're held every month, and anyone is welcome to those classes. The health department has begun to do some classes also in addition to what the WIC program does.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and Sarah and Harrison joins us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So I was just calling because I was listening in, and I'm a mother of two. And actually, what everyone was saying is that you really have to, commit to the breastfeeding. And I had multiple nurses and my family and stuff tell me the same thing. So I went in really gung ho with my first daughter, like, I'm going to breastfeed no matter what, and had multiple lactation consultants to really help out. And then after a lot of trying, it turned out that my daughter was severely tongue-tied, upper and lower. And another lactation consultant ended up referring me to get it clipped, and it was just this long, drawn-out process. But so I would just say, I think just because somebody commits to doing it, and it still might not work out. And I think that working on it, you know, kudos to any moms who try really hard, but like, don't beat yourself up if it doesn't work out, because that, like, yeah, I had a lot of people tell me that if I would have tried harder, it would have still worked, when in fact later on found out it medically was impossible until things were clipped and such. So I just kind of wanted to play devil's advocate a little bit there.
Okay. Sarah, thank you for the call.
I think that's an excellent point. You know, if this were 100% the way everybody should go, then we would just do this all the time and it would be easy breezy. And I think you're absolutely right. That's a, you know, thank goodness we have great medicine and we have great folks out there who can address these sort of issues. And it's just not going to happen for everybody. And I think that is amazing that you were that committed and you really did want to make sure that this was going to happen. And but this is a very complicated thing. Personally, you know, I had major issues with mine, and luckily mine were, you know, I was able to overcome them and fix them. But, you know, a lot of women worry about lack of supply, and I had the opposite issue. I had oversupply and overactive letdown, and that creates all sorts of issues with your infant, who gets very, very upset when their tummies are hurting. And it was really, really difficult with both of my children, and I think I'm just kind of hard-headed, so I kind of came through it. But there are definitely some issues out there that have to be addressed.
Betsy, you were talking earlier about how WIC offers programs and education on breastfeeding. How do you access those?
Well, the WIC program provides support for lower-income women, infants, and children. And so it's like the 185% of the poverty level is the income guidelines. And then you have to have a nutrition or a medical risk factor to be on WIC. So then once you're on WIC, you can get, you know, we have classes all the time, or you can speak to a registered dietitian at any point. So whenever you come into WIC, you're going to see a registered dietitian to do a nutrition assessment. And we also have lactation specialists that you can see anytime. So you don't have to have a regular appointment. You know, you can come in, and if you want to, you know, have your baby weighed every week or something like that, to make sure. A lot of moms' confidence, it's because you don't see how much milk you're producing it, the baby's just drinking it, we can't see. So that sometimes is a confidence issue. Moms think they don't have enough milk, but if we can weigh the baby and say, your baby's growing great, then it, you know, makes you feel a little bit better. It makes you feel like, yeah, I am doing this, I can do this. So you can come into the WIC office for things like, for help like that, or if they want to do different positions, if it's not feeling right, you know, we can help them with anything on that lines.
Let's talk with Faye Marie in Fort Mitchell. How are you this afternoon?
Just fine, thank you. And yourself?
Good, thank you. Go right ahead.
Yes, my comment is, you know, we're the only developed country that doesn't have a paternity leave. And at 6 weeks, both my kids are now grown, but I breastfed both of them. But at 6 weeks, I had to go back to work. So I ended up having to breast and bottle feed. And unfortunately, doing that, the children don't want to breastfeed as long. And so at 8 and 9 months, they both quit and wanted the bottle exclusively. And I am such a proponent of paternity leave for families so that moms can actually breastfeed at least for a year.
Okay, Faye Marie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I think she brings up a very important issue around maternity and paternity leave, but it's essentially when moms have to return to work, what happens? And you know, fortunately, there is, through the Affordable Care Act, there are lots of avenues for women to get help with regards to breastfeeding and return to work. Pumps are pretty much a standard now through any insurance plan. So, you know, when you are having your baby, you can get a breast pump, breast pump, and that does help you to pump when you go back to work. She brings up another issue of preference of bottle because you're basically changing nipples. So this is like, okay, this is not the breast. This is an artificial nipple. And like she said, maybe her children preferred the bottle after some time. But I think that the issue really we have to address is maternity leave in general is virtually non-existent in this country. We expect all of these great outcomes for our children. We expect women to breastfeed, and then we have to go back to work. And, you know, a lot of women don't even have the opportunity to take a leave, and they're returning to work after a couple of weeks. That's really impossible, frankly, to get things going in the right way for breastfeeding. Those who can stay home, that's great. You have all of this time to kind of master your art, if you will. But I always felt it really, I was a little sad because I went back at 9 weeks and I thought, man, it just started getting good and now I have to go back to work. And then you worry about whether they're going to eat and they're going to take their bottle and are you going to match up your pumping schedule with how often they're eating? And you have to make sure you have milk when you get home so the child can eat. I mean, there's so many things that go into this. And I think we don't do a very good job as a nation to say we're going to support women who need to return to work. We're 51% of the equation. Anything from lactation policies and breastfeeding policies in the workplace are very important. Having space for women to pump and express milk. I think those sorts of things we need to work on a little bit.
Let's talk with Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
I was just curious. I'm an early Head Start home visitor in Butler County and a lactation consultant. And what we run into often is with our clients, because we serve 100% of the poverty level, they all typically qualify for WIC. And as we're trying to encourage breastfeeding, we hear multiple times that WIC gives that free formula. So why would I try something that could be potentially difficult or hard, as all of your other callers have mentioned, when I can get free formula from WIC? And I just wondered if anyone could speak on how you're combating that or how you're trying to encourage breastfeeding when there is, in some cases, an easier option available to people.
Okay. Thank you, Lindsay.
I understand that question. We get that occasionally. WIC does provide formula because of the fact that some women can't breastfeed. Hopefully that's very few, but that we do have that as an option. And when you say it's easier, it sort of depends on who you talk to, because breastfeeding, once you get it under, you know, once you get past those humps, it really can be easy, but it takes some time. And we do need more support for breastfeeding. I 100% agree. So that when I have a problem, I can talk to someone or someone that comes out to my house to make it easier. We promote breastfeeding. The WIC program promotes breastfeeding at every visit. Every time the prenatal mom comes in and once they've had the baby, we continue to promote it. So we really do educate in that direction of breastfeeding. But because of the nature of our program, we do provide the formula for those moms that don't want to or it doesn't work for. We're going to support a mom's decision no matter what she decides, because it's her body. We will support both sides of the equation. We certainly promote the breastfeeding because of all of its health benefits to both mom and baby, but we do have both options.
Let's talk with Irene in Westchester. Hi, Irene.
Hi. I just wanted to say one of the amazing benefits of nursing your baby is the bonding that you make with your child, you know, whether it be male or female, you know. It's a bonding time between mom and baby, mm-hmm. you know? And especially after having given birth, whether it be a cesarean section or a natural childbirth, it's a healing phase after that traumatic, you know, effort to be able to hold your baby and know that your baby is getting the best. Because any of those formulas in the stores, I mean, bless them, you know, they do the best they can.
Hey, Irene, I hate to cut you short. We're running a little bit short on time. That's okay.
That's okay.
Jennifer, because you make a good point.
The real importance of it, you know, and I'm so happy that you're covering this issue.
Thank you, Irene. Good call. Thank you very much.
I think that's absolutely stellar, that the bond with the baby is, I think really what it makes you do is it makes you slow down. You have to sit, you have to get comfortable, you have to make sure the baby's comfortable, and it really forces you to say, okay, this is going to be 20 minutes of uninterrupted time right now that I get to have with my child, and I think she's absolutely right.
Well, Betsy and Jennifer, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Hamilton County WIC Program Director and Cincinnati Health Department Supervising Dietitian Betsy Hagen Buchanan, and Maternal and Infant Health Division Director with the Cincinnati Health Department, Dr. Jennifer Mooney. Coming up, we'll hear about initiatives to promote disability inclusion. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.